This is Paul S. Kemp, creator of Angle of the Knicks, and I am close, personal, sexy time friends with the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Court of Nerds, the only podcast brought to you by the all-new 2017 Honda Ridgeline. It waits for no one. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
I'm Stacy.
And we are your Court of Nerds this week. While we are normally a quartet, we are only a trio this week. We hope Emily feels better soon. And of course, the 2017 Honda Ridgeline is like the Lion King of vehicles. Oh, this week, we're going to discuss, we all went and saw John Wick 2. We're going to talk about that. John's got some interesting stats and info about Netflix stealing away big movies. And we wanted to open up with some headlines. So, John, what are the headlines?
Here we go.
Headlines with John Calaruso.
Here we go. The official cast photo for the Star Wars The Han Solo movie has arrived.
Well, golly gee, John, tell me about it.
Well, it's featuring Alden, Donald, Woody, Amelia, and the furry guy himself, Chewbacca. Rampage, the movie, starts shooting in April, starring The Rock.
Oh, Dwayne Johnson.
Could this be the end of crappy video game movie adaptations?
Spoiler alert, no.
Guillermo del Toro says that Hellboy 3, 100%, will not happen, and that is to be the final about it.
Ah, no more talking about Hellboy 3. Somewhere, Grant Stoy is in a puddle of his own tears.
Now, Lego Batman continues to dominate the box office with a second straight week, pulling in $42 million.
Hey, John, you want to hear my Batman voice?
I do.
I'm Batman. Go on.
As The Great Wall falters, domestically making only $18 million.
That barely pays for Matt Damon's food.
But $244 overseas.
Oh, big money in the overseas market for a crappy movie.
China, really liking that one.
China.
Marvel Comics pulls the plug on Thunderbolts, Hellcat, and Silk.
Hellcat was critically received, which if you're one of the big two books, means you're only going to make it for a year.
The Metal Gear Solid movie is still happening and may even be rated R.
Oh, saucy.
Overwatch, next playable character, well, was teased in a blog post and likely ruling out Doomfist, but don't sweat it, guys. The new Funko Pops are on the way, coming this April.
Golly gee, Funko Pops sure are neat.
And last but not least, 80 new Pokemon have arrived in Pokemon Go. I already have 46.
Thereby destroying anything John had resembling a social life.
Indeed.
Those are the headlines. What'd you think, Stacey? Should we keep headlines or get rid of it?
What the hell just happened?
We took a time trip, see?
Did you like that?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Now listen, something we can all agree that we liked is John Wick 2. We all enjoyed John Wick 2. We got a chance to go see it last night. We were at Celebration Cinema North in the very comfy seats there, enjoying some delicious popcorn out of our Rogue One popcorn bucket.
Oh yeah.
John Wick, the first one, is one of my favorite action movies that has come out in recent years. It is straightforward. It doesn't waste time. It gets right into killing people and then just keeps killing people in really fun and not overly complicated ways. I don't need a Goldberg device every time that I want someone dead. This isn't Saw. This is an action movie. And John Wick 2 picks up right where the first one left off, with John Wick finishing his vendetta with the Russians. And then goes some very interesting places. What did you guys think?
I thought it was great. I mean, we talked about it last night. A little more action than the first one. A little more plot in the first than this one. But all in all, I mean, it was a great, great movie. They set it up for a third one.
Right.
So,
to borrow from John Wick 2, if John Wick 1 set the table, then John Wick 2 was dinner. And what I'm assuming will be John Wick 3 will be dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah, I was going to say, Stacey, you had a few like sploosh moments during
that.
Oh,
man.
Like, I don't want to awkwardly.
Did, really?
Yeah, but I don't want to awkwardly out Stacey, but like, you can kind of see her like fidgeting in her seat, like, oh, this is enjoyable.
Oh, my goodness. Give me fancy weapons, give me blood, and give me minimal plot so I can just sit for 2 hours and enjoy something without having to think. Perfect movie for that, which I love the first one anyways. There was a lot more plot in the first one, I felt, but it's still very simple. It's a very simple film. And I think we talked about this a little bit last night, is that you just don't get movies like this anymore because they try and be so much more than they actually are.
Right, and they try to be more than they really need to be, and that's part of the problem. And the best part about John Wick is it's an original story. It's not based on a true story, Mark Wahlberg starring in. You know, it's an actual original film. It's an original script. And you say fancy weapons, you just mean high-end weapons.
Yes.
I mean, he goes to a gun buffet, like, more or less. And
I watched YouTube gun nuts just basically get, like, consecutive boner after boner during that scene.
The Benelli M4 semi-automatic shotgun is like a dream gun for people. I mean, it can do pretty much anything. It is a dream gun for Miss Miller over here.
Yeah, it's pretty damn close.
I was going to say, I mean, for you though, John, it's an Italian classic.
Oh my gosh. Like, anything Italian is pretty good. I mean, Beretta, Benelli, but like, the Benelli is the quintessential, and I love that word, shotgun.
It's the shotgun to rule all shotguns, to get nerdy.
No. It's Court of Nerds podcast, it's, Stacey. You're not in your cubicle. You can be
sports nerdy, you can be gun nerdy, anything nerdy.
No, that's a badass shotgun.
Right, nerdy, dirty, and flirty. That's our Stacey Miller. Yes. But it was a great film. If you enjoyed the first one, you're gonna love the second one.
Yes.
I personally thought the second one was a better movie, start to finish. I mean, you barely had time to breathe. There was very little downtime.
But the downtime that there was didn't leave you like, oh, this is downtime. You can right. tell.
It was necessary.
Like, right. yeah, for sure, to build the story and the plot and everything.
And there wasn't really a whole lot of dialogue, which, I mean, if it's an action film, there really shouldn't be. It's fast-paced, but it's not Transporter, you know, where I feel like there's 15 different camera angles in 10 seconds. It's very long shots with highly choreographed fight scenes. And I love that it's not like the Bourne series where it's tons of fast camera angles. And it's like, yeah, there's amazing fight scenes. There's great weapons. There are some non-traditional weapons as well, which I love. That's one of the reasons I love the Bourne series. But the weapons that they
the bleeping pencil.
Yeah.
You will never look at a pencil the same way.
No, my gosh.
Again.
No.
Much like the 2017 Honda Ridgeline, I had a hard time finding things I didn't like about this movie.
Honda, pay us.
There were a couple. There were a couple things that, like, how's this? If I had to pick something that I didn't like.
Yes.
Ruby Rose not talking through the whole movie. What a waste of a really good young actress.
Oh, man. And she's very saucy when she talks, too.
Yeah, she has a great attitude. I thought she would have really added a lot to the film.
But do you think that they would have, if they did let her talk, do you think, well, we shouldn't say that, because she did talk, she just didn't speak.
Right, she used hand signs. I apologize. I don't mean to offend.
Oh, no,
but,
not
you know,
offended,
and I mean, how's this? The idea of the character is good.
I wonder if they would have gone overly sexualized with her.
No, but I would have loved to. There were a couple of the things that she signed that I really wanted her to be saying.
See,
you
I
know?
Liked it, though.
Yeah, I preferred it.
I liked the signing.
Difference in opinion.
I liked the signing because it shows that John can communicate pretty much in any language
yep.
possible.
What
any
did he
language.
Have?
And for him to need to do that, because being the ultimate assassin, a.k.a. the guy who they call to kill the boogeyman.
Baba Yaga.
I mean, I liked it for that reason, because he could speak Russian,
okay.
he can speak Italian,
no, I like
he
that.
Can sign language, he can do it all.
I like
so.
That. My other thing was, I thought Common was criminally underused. I thought Common was criminally underused, but I think the way that they used him leaves him open to return for John Wick 3.
All right, I'm really terrible with names in films. Who was that?
Common was the bodyguard of Gianna.
Oh, I thought that was Cassian.
That's his name in the film. The
He's
actor's name is Common.
Common.
Oh, okay, now I'm with you. I was like, that name doesn't sound familiar.
I'm
going to
make you a mix CD. Don't worry about it.
Mix CD.
I'm going to make you a mix tape. You don't have a tape player, though, so it'll be a CD. Moving on.
Indeed.
Some of these original idea, kind of smaller budget-ish films, not no budget, but smaller budget, are seeming to make their way onto Netflix, which is something John wanted to talk about today, and it's going to be our debate topic for the evening, is this idea of new movies making their way to Netflix and bypassing the big screen entirely. I've got my issues with it. John's got an explanation for you. So, John, set the table.
Well, Netflix committed $90 million plus for a David Ayer-directed Will Smith and Joel Egerton pick.
Now, to me, that sounds like Suicide Squad, which sucked.
Sounds like a shitty decision. Well, sounds like a terrible movie. I don't even know what it's about yet.
But hang on, because John,
a bidding war.
There was a bit. Yeah, there were other companies that wanted to make this movie.
It was a 2-week bidding battle, and it finally ended with Netflix winning. But it also, the other suitors were Warner Bros., who teamed up with MGM to go as high as $50 million. And then Palm Stars' Kevin Franks, who offered $4 million for the Landis script and committed a total budget of around $60 million. So Netflix bid $30 million plus the script cost of $3 million for this movie. That doesn't sound good at all.
Is there anything on the plot? Or are you just saying it doesn't sound good based on
the three people
involved? Tell me the plot.
It's a Max Landis scripted cop thriller with fantastical elements and a tentpole potential that David Ayer will direct. That is what the article says.
That does sound awful.
And that's what they spend $90 million on? What the hell are they thinking?
Now, John, what direction do you think this indicates for the film industry, though? That you're taking what would have otherwise been probably a somewhat big budget,
it would have
as
been,
it described it, tentpole release.
Yes, it would have been a traditional wide-release theatrical film that now Netflix is going to put out like any other film that they have done, including Adam Sandler and The Interview, which, for other reasons, was released on Netflix early. But will it take away, is it going to take away from big blockbuster films getting those theatrical releases and putting them directly into people's homes? And I think it's a good and bad idea for people who with kids and things that can't get out to the movie theater, but is it going to send the companies in a direction where, shoot, we need to do this, and is it going to make Disney want to buy Netflix even more for a reason that they can create a monopoly on it?
Here's the thing, and you've kind of been discussing this Disney buying Netflix thing. We've been talking about it on and off, not on the podcast, for weeks. But I don't think Disney buys Netflix because Netflix content is so not Disney. I mean, think about what's the new show? The Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore, who John is inexplicably in love with. Guilty as charged. If you've watched that show, Disney would not slap their name on that show. Watch anything on ABC and tell me that would make it on Netflix. Because it wouldn't. The thing with Netflix is it's not TV. They can say fuck, which I can also say because we're on a podcast. There are rules for Disney that Netflix would refuse to abide by. I don't think Netflix would sell to Disney.
But do you really think that would Disney put out Daredevil as they have, and spoiler alert, smashing somebody's head in a car door very close and very vibrantly and seeing all the blood go everywhere?
Because it's a partnership with Marvel and Netflix.
Right.
Once Disney owns Netflix, Disney is now the umbrella. They can say, oh no, that's Marvel, that's a subdivision, and they partnered with Netflix, so it's 50-50 on everything. That's the defense there. Disney still wants to be the Mickey Mouse. They're the House of Mouse, man. They want to be family films. They want to be live-action Lion King, which, go ahead, freak out, Donald Glover is Simba. What?
Yeah. Oh, and last night, the New Day put out to be the Three Hyenas.
Oh, my God. Or could they
want to be the Three Hyenas?
Can Xavier Woods and Big E just be Timon and Pumbaa?
That works, too.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all of this. But as we sidetrack, which we constantly do,
yeah.
I got to bring it back in here because the only movies Netflix has made so far are either incredibly amazing, and I can't remember the title of it, the Idris Elba film, which was unbelievable, or shitty Adam Sandler, Kevin James, David Spade shit. And the shit twice is necessary because those movies are double shitty. Stacey, you've been uncharacteristically quiet. And I'm uncharacteristically struggling to speak. What do you think about all this?
Help you.
Yeah, please help.
I think Disney wants to be a profitable company, and Netflix buying them is a way to make more money. it's also, you know, just like our company was purchased. We're still us, but we have an owner. Hollister. There's another example. We got Hollister and what was the other creepy one?
Abercrombie?
No. There's like...
Route 21?
No, there's one company that owns a bunch of different ones.
Like fashion companies?
Yeah, they diversify.
Just use Lucasfilm as a great example. Because pretty much...
John Nazi used Lucasfilm.
Well, no, because Kathleen Kennedy runs Lucasfilm. She is the queen of Star Wars world and everything that falls underneath that.
Slay, queen, slay.
Bob Iger owns Walt Disney. I really don't think he's going to intervene with what Lucasfilm wants to do. Lucasfilm is going to be their own company. And I think that, and I don't know for sure, so don't say any quote me or anything, but that's got to be part of the contract. Like, hey, we're going to do this. And yeah, I mean, you're going to pay for it, but this is what we want to do. And we think that our high executives can make that decision on their own, even though we're underneath you.
And I get what you're saying. But here's the counter question. And this is kind of what I've been waiting to drop on you. Why would Netflix sell? If you're Netflix, why sell? You are the most profitable streaming service in the world right now. And you already have a deal in place with Disney where they're going to be sending their content directly to you. Why let them own you?
Well, that is the deal. And that's why I agree with you that I don't necessarily think they will buy them. But it's been in articles, it's been around.
Right. No. And I don't want to be completely negative, because letting Disney get their hooks in you can be profitable. I mean, again, let's bring back up a room favorite, and I think a site favorite, Donald Glover. We're all big fans of the man's work. Stacey's a big fan of the man's body. Whatever. Don't blow it off. Nobody can see you smirking over there.
Not a visual medium.
No, not a visual medium. So you have to say, damn, or some other kind of... I don't know that you would say that.
Is that good? Ugh.
I don't know what that means.
Hello there.
Greg, edit out those noises in post. But, you know, it's one of those... We're all fans of Donald Glover. We loved what he was doing. You know, we love Atlanta on FX. Mm-hmm. I've loved Childish Gambino for a long time.
Community,
of course. And the episodes of 30 Rock that he wrote.
Yes.
But he got in bed with Disney, and now he's young Lando. He's Simba.
Heaven help us all.
There's rumors.
He's in Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's in Spider-Man. There's rumors that he's going to be possibly either a protagonist or a main villain in Spider-Man 2. Like, this has been an incredible career move for him, and all he had to do was get into bed with the House of Mouse.
Maybe that's why Netflix will do it too.
Right, and I guess there's the upside, money. The upswing, is that while you're making money, who doesn't want to make more money?
Exactly.
That's always the goal. Make them pockets deeper.
Walt Disney just wants world domination.
Yeah, basically. Bob Iger wants to control all of us and tell us what's morally right and wrong. But
you serve Donald Glover up as Simba. Sign me up.
Did I just see you start to salivate over a young lion?
And James Earl Jones is coming back, too.
I mean, Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa. Here's the biggest downside that I can see, though. If these major budget films all start going streaming service... is you lose movie theaters. I mean, movie theaters are struggling to stay open as it is. They are not the giants of industry that they once were. You know, they're making changes to try and serve people better, to be a place to hang out. I mean, Celebration Cinema just installed that Oscars bar that we were looking at. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can now bring booze into the movie with you, which is delightful.
And as much as I hate people and
hate
movie
people.
Theaters,
yes.
I really do like going to the movies.
I know. I love the movies.
So
I love the movies. I love
the
experience.
Fact that it was gone.
We love taking Isaac to the movies. I mean, you and me and my kid, we go to movies all the time. Me and my dad, it's basically the only activity we can agree to do together.
Yeah.
Is go to the movies or go eat food. And one of them is more detrimental to my health than the other.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. I don't want to lose the movie theater experience. I don't want to lose those moments that I remember growing up with my, you know, and it was like a tradition. We'd go see every Disney movie that came out. We'd go to Bob Evans and then go to the movies with my grandma. Like, that's something I'll never forget.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about losing that, though. Because they would be...
I think that's short-sighted.
They would be stupid. Like, think of how much money they make just on pre-sales.
Right,
you're talking about releasing films like Beauty and the Beast through a streaming service?
You could pre-buy the release. It could be a special release.
I don't think it'll happen.
You can Celebration has already dropped movies that release on demand the same day they hit theaters. They don't do them anymore. Scout's Guide to the Apocalypse hit on demand the same day it hit theaters. Celebration didn't pick it up. And I'm just talking from what I know on the local perspective.
Right.
But I know nationally, movie theaters are struggling. It's not a booming industry. It's become very much so. You have to have the best experience. I mean, you guys, I mean, John, you probably remember better than most. We used to have, what, four options for theater companies in Grand Rapids?
It was, yeah, we had Star.
You had AMC. You had Studio 28.
And Cinemark.
And you had Celebration.
Celebration bought out Cinemark. Showcase disappeared. Then Jack Lokes expanded, and AMC bought Star.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we're down to two theater companies in this town, and we're the second biggest city in Michigan.
And if they expand into Detroit, it could be a, it could just run the whole state.
Well, Detroit, you're competing with Magic Johnson and his whole company, and that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
But I think in the long term, this is something that would impact movie theaters, and you might see it go down to smaller theaters, smaller buildings, more intimate showings. And movie ticket prices, people would hate it, but they'd go up. But you'd be getting, like, what you get in some other states is you get these dinner and a movie experiences. And you're selling an experience instead of just selling going to the movies.
Like the Alamo Draft House.
Alamo Draft House, exactly. Which, by the way, is closing in Kalamazoo.
See, there you go.
So, just things to keep in mind. A fun discussion to have about the future of movies, about the future of streaming services. I think the big money for streaming services will always be in original television style content.
Well, they want you to binge.
In binge series, absolutely. And I think we'll start seeing after, and again, this is just me guessing at things, but I think even if paying for streaming services, I think you're going to start seeing ads after like three episodes of something. You'll get like a 30-second ad for a big company, a Pepsi, a Coke, a Pizza Hut, someone like that will come in and pay for a 30-second ad that you can't keep binging until you've watched that ad.
Instead of the continue watching thing, it's watch this Pepsi commercial because you have to.
Right, because otherwise you have to get up and press a button.
Exactly.
Well,
which my fat ass ain't going to do.
Then it just becomes TV again. Like, that's the whole point of
paying
for that.
But hold on. With TV, you're talking about you're sitting for a half hour to get 21 minutes of content. This is you're getting 60 minutes of content and then a 30-second commercial.
That's just me being an old grouch and not like, I don't like being advertised.
Yeah,
to.
I know. That's why you steal everything illegally.
I don't steal it.
That's monitor her. Watch her, government.
That's S. Miller at.
That's Ma Miller. Soon to be Grandma Miller.
You right. Backstabbers.
Yeah, we are traitors. We are lecherous traitors. That being said, we are also the Court of Nerds. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
And I'm Stacy.
Be sure to check us out at thecourtofnerds.com. If you're listening to this podcast through iTunes or Podbean, we do appreciate you, but we'd love for you to see all the other wonderful things we do on our website, including the hottest podcast on the planet, That's So Braven. Thanks again for listening, everyone, to the only podcast brought to you by the 2017 Honda Ridgeline. We out. Yeah, Honda, not actually affiliated with this podcast. But they could be.